We're going to jump right in here.
Do you ever have that sneaky feeling you forgot something? I kind of got that right now, but hopefully I didn't forget something important here today. We'll see. I got God's word, so I guess that's all we need. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're going to look today at the tabernacle of God. This is something I've wanted to do for years, just have never pulled it off for whatever reason. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the Old Testament today. And part of what I want to do by doing this is, you know, sometimes people kind of diss the Old Testament, and I know we don't, you know, abide by it, you know, because we have the New Testament, but yet there's so many things in the Old Testament we can learn from to help our walk with God, because it's rich in pictures, and it'll help us to gain some spiritual insight, you know, of what we really, you know, need to see and to understand. Now, many people possibly think that the tabernacle that we have today is this church building. As a matter of fact, some churches name their church the tabernacle. And we're going to disprove that in the next few weeks a little bit. Now, it is kind of because we all come here, but technically without, you know, I mean, I could probably just tell you what it is, which many of you know, that we are the tabernacle of God. Amen. So we could just stop and go home now, right? Amen. Now we're going to go through this series and we're going to look this over, and I think we can gain some insight. I have spent a lot of time, on this a little bit. All day yesterday, I just was in my office just praying and looking this stuff over, and his stuff I've known for 20 years, but I just, God was just feeding me. You know what I mean? How many knows it's good to be fed ever? I mean, I know it looks like it. I haven't missed very many meals. I'm talking about a spiritual meal right now. And, you know, we need to see that. A scripture I want to start off, we're going to look at a couple, but the first one I want to see is in Exodus chapter 25, 8 to 9. I kind of want to prove that, you know, this is here. Many of you maybe have looked at this, but it says here, "Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them according to all that I'm going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern, all its furniture, just so you shall construct it." So there we see that God had a plan, okay? And he was going to show these people how to build this tabernacle, and also in that tabernacle was going to be certain pieces of furniture. And not to set on, but they actually, each of these things were spiritual things that the people needed to do. And we're going to look at one today as we start off about it. I don't know, can you jump ahead, Christian, for a minute? And let's look at the two pictures that I have. I want to show those for a minute, just so we kind of have this in our mind, okay? That first one, and I'll share these on Facebook later today. That first one is a picture of the whole, considered the tabernacle, okay? You got, you know, the structure that's around as a perimeter that had a tent or linen that went up a certain amount of height, and then inside that was a couple pieces of furniture that we're going to go into next week, where people could go, anybody could go there. And then you see that other little tent, that's called the Holy Place and the Holy of Holies. If we could see the next picture, okay, that's what that area is there, okay? And that area there has two different pieces. One of them's 30 foot by 15, that's called the Holy Place, okay? And all the priests could go in there. And then the back part is 15 by 15 feet, and that's called the Holy of Holies. You just couldn't go in there. They went there hypothetically once a year to make offering for the people that they did in ignorance. How many knows we do stupid stuff, I guess? I don't know. But anyway, the only person that went in there was the high priest, and he had to make sure that he was good with God, because if he didn't, he wouldn't come out alive. The presence of God was so strong there, okay? Now, this is totally different than we're used to. You know, this is New Testament stuff. You know, we don't go around killing animals and all that. I mean, you shouldn't, I mean, unless you're going to eat them. But, I mean, we don't kill them for blood sacrifice, because we know that Jesus is our sacrifice. Okay, thank you, Christian. Now, let's look at the next scripture I want to look at. And we're going to start here, not with the piece of the furniture that's there, but we're going to start with talking about how on earth do you even get into the presence of God? Because that's important. You know, I know it's not rocket science, but yet there is a way that God wants us. Psalms 100 verse 4, I'm going to read from the New American Standard first, and it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, okay? Give thanks to him and bless his name, okay? That gate is the gate to get into that whole perimeter thing. That's how you go in. And then also there's a court in there called, you know, where anybody could really go with the priests and the regular people, okay? Now the Message Bible, I like it the way it kind of says it. It says, enter with the password. Thank you. Make yourselves at home. Talking praise, thank him, and worship him. Amen. How many knows what happens if you don't remember your password? Has anybody ever had that problem? Oh my. Man, you're locked out. You can't get in, can you? And so there's a way that we need to approach God. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the power of your Spirit, for the anointing that breaks the yoke of God on our lives today. Lord, we thank you for truth wins. We thank you that truth conquers all. Right now, we call lies into subjection to the truth of God's word. We thank you for your penetrating power and your presence to be here today. Holy Spirit, come. You are the teacher, the revealer, the one that we want to receive from today. Lord, I yield to what you put inside of me, the gift, and I use it for your glory. And I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a little bit about the background of the pictures that we just looked at a moment ago. You know, the tabernacle, I like that word, but what also it means is called the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting. I don't know, I like that one better. The tent, you know, a tent like you go camping, of meeting. And what would happen is the fact that, you know, before they constructed this, Moses had a tent where he would kind of meet God, you know what I'm saying? And he got in the presence of God, his face would just glow. And most people were scared to death of God, and rightfully so. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, they dropped dead because they lied to the Holy Ghost. All those days, lucky that don't happen today. You know, we'd all be in a little bit of trouble, wouldn't we? But what would happen, when God started revealing himself, you have to remember, these people came from a slave mentality. They had been in Egypt for over 400 years, okay? And they went down there kind of knowing God because, you know, they went to that place with Jacob and they had a revelation of God, but living in slavery that long, they didn't really have a great connection with God. It wasn't until they cried out that God intervened in their situation, okay? So they had no exposure to God. Then all of a sudden, Moses showed up and he was the man of God. And then he started to lead them out of slavery. And then we know the Red Sea parted. And we know that, you know, different miracles like that. So their concept of God was, whoa. You know, they could just only see him, that he's a God of power. Okay? And that's cool. I love a God of power. Because we need power, don't we? We need power of God working in our life. But see, God also wanted to reveal himself to his people in a more well-rounded way. He didn't want the people just to be scared of him, but he wanted them to know that they could have relationship with him. So that's why I like that tent of meeting. I hope you have a tent of meeting at your house, a place where you go and you meet God. You have to have a place set up. I believe it's a good idea. Now, with this tabernacle, as you can see to the right hand of the screen, there's only one way in. Okay, I want us to remember that. You know, one way into that apparatus to be able to go into, and it was kind of a curtain, and you could go through that curtain. We're going to go over that a little bit here in a little bit. So it only had an opening on the east side of the tabernacle. And you have to understand, you know, when God rested in a place, they put this together, okay? And God would manifest himself by a cloud and a fire, okay? A cloud during the day, the heat, and a fire at night. And what they would do then, when God would decide it's time to move, he would leave the Holy of Holies so it's safe for them to go in and start to take this thing down. They would have to pack it up, and they'd have to follow the fire or the cloud wherever it went. It didn't matter if they went for a few days or just a little bit. They would have to follow God. He was teaching them obedience. And see, that's important that we understand that. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to understand. Now, a little bit of the size of this structure. It was 150 feet long by 75 feet wide. okay? If you take up in the top corner of that is a football field. Okay, if you would take the tabernacle and turn it sideways, the width of a football field is 160 feet. So picture how big that is, the football field, and this structure was 10 foot shorter than that. So it's pretty good sized in there. Pretty big work area, you know, where you go. And then when you go into the holy place where only the priests could go, the other tent, like I said, I think it was 45 foot long by 15 foot wide. And then on the place where they could, everybody could, all the priests could go, would be 30 by 15. But like I say, the real holy place, where we want to go, it's only 15 by 15. See, our goal is to get to the Holy of Holies. You know, into the manifest presence of God. Because their lives are changed. Amen? When you get in that, what they call the Shekinah glory of God. And there's a way that we can start to see that manifest. Now, also with this, the 12 tribes would camp all the way around it. Okay? So each tribe had their special spot, you know, where they would camp. They'd set up their tents. And then on the east side, it was the tribe of Judah would camp there. That was their spot, on the east side by the gate. And you know what Judah's name means? Praise. We enter God's presence by praise. And see, that's what that scripture I just read. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So that's the one of the ways that you and I need to get into the presence of God. And God was going to reveal himself, like I said, to a people that didn't have a clue about him. I know when I first came to God, I had a little bit of a clue, but not a big clue. I knew about him, but I didn't really know him. So it was all new to me. And I don't know, maybe it was like that for you, and hopefully we're all still learning. So the first point I want us to understand that we got to stick the landing. You know what I mean? When you approach God. Now, we're heading into a time here where, you know, the Olympics are about ready to start, right? Have you ever watched the Summer Olympics, especially the gymnastics stuff? And it's really amazing. I can't imagine, you know, I've jumped off a diving board and tried to twist my body and do some of that stuff. And it's not a good landing all the time. I mean, for the most of the time. I just can't imagine, you know, what it's like to have that kind of discipline and control over yourself where you can do those things. And how a gymnast, you know, they want to stick that landing. And it doesn't really matter for the most part how many flips, how many twists, how many things they got going on. If they don't stick the landing, they don't get the medal. You got to stick the landing. And see, to me, it's like that. I was thinking about this is, you know, the idea of flying an airplane. Have you ever flown in a big jet and went somewhere? Now, if you're coming from the south and you're heading up to Minneapolis, and let's say the runway's east and west, that plane just can't land sideways, can it? No. Have you ever been on them big things? And it kind of, it's freaky feeling. When that big old plane is kind of setting up and that big thing turns like this and you kind of go like that and then they hit some turbulence and they have to get lined up to the runway. If they don't get lined up perfect, they will not stick the landing. They're going to miss and it's not going to be good. Now, I know that God is graceful and merciful, and I know that we can do stupid stuff and still get close to God. But God is very specific in his patterns, the way he wants us to do things. So to me, if you own a Bible, ignorance is not an option anymore. We need to learn the best way that we can come in to the presence of God and be able to get to the place that we want to be, because our goal is not to miss the runway. And like an airplane has to follow those procedures, I think there's certain things, and we're going to break those open in the next coming weeks. But this one here, I just want to get us in the door, man. You know what I'm saying? You got to get in the door. If you don't get in the door, you know, it's very difficult to do that. Now, I don't want to make, you know, getting into the presence of God, I don't want to make it mechanical or some special formula. You know what I mean? You know, it's not magic, but it is magical, kind of. You know, getting in the presence of God when you finally, you know, get past that place of your flesh. You know where that's at? That's where we are now a lot of times. Amen. You know, you get past that flesh and you get over into the glory, you know, where you're receiving from God. And that's a special place. And, you know, that's where we want to get. So I know there's grace and mercy, and I believe in that, and we need to have that operate in our life, but I believe the Lord wants us to mature in that relationship. So there is a proper way to approach God and to put yourself in a position to receive, and that's what we need to remember first. We want to put ourselves in that position to receive. Now, if God was so specific with those dimensions, everything was meticulously made, and what amazes me is the fact that how some of the people made some of the things, they had to make it beautiful, the sewing, and people could work with their hands. God put a special anointing on a man that would be able to make the things and hammer out gold and do all these things. It was just amazing just how God did that. He was so specific, and he wants us to understand that we want to try to get ourselves in the right place. And I want to get us into legalism. That's not what I'm going here today. But when we keep it relational with the Lord, he's going to keep it real with us, okay? And that's what we want to do. We want to have, you know, I don't like a relationship with God where, you know, I remember people telling me, well, I just told God. Well, honey, you don't tell God nothing. God tells you. You know what I mean? We got to have a little respect here. Who God is and what he is in our life. I mean, you know, we need to have that kind of reverence. It's not a reverence where I'm afraid of dying, but it's a reverence where I respect God and God's presence. And I don't want to do things to grieve the Holy Spirit. And we need to kind of learn those things, and that's all good. Okay? So, some of you have been married before. It's kind of like... have you ever tried to tell your spouse, get me a glass of water? How's that work? You might wear that glass of water, right? Think about it. I mean, that's not how you talk to somebody, is it? No. You might say, you know, could you please give me a glass of water followed by a thank you? Amen? That'll get you a nice glass of water. You might even get a couple ice cubes out of the deal. I don't know if you like ice cubes. And so, to me, attitude is everything. That's why, you know, it talked about the password is thank you or thanksgiving. So when we come to God, you know, we want to have that attitude. I'm so thankful. I may not have everything I want, but I do have things. I'm thankful for what I have, okay? And we need to have that mentality. You know, God is just not a slot machine where you put a little money in and you pull the lever, you know what I mean? It's a relationship, and that's what we need to get to as we follow him in his presence. And what happens is the idea, there's two different kinds of ways that you and I worship, and we're in a building right now, and we all come here, and we worship God, okay? And I like to look at the idea of personal and corporate worship, and you need to have both in your life. That personal time and the corporate time. Now, some people don't believe in the corporate time. They don't believe in corporately coming to church. They're in sin. Simple as that. God ordained the church. God wants us to be a part of a local congregation to do things and to be able to be a lighthouse and an outreach to the world. You know, for whatever reason, maybe they had a bad experience. I've had a bad restaurant. I went back and gave them another shot. You know what I mean? You know, you just got to get over some things. There's not all churches are bad. You know, maybe you've had, you know, things happen because people are here, right? So you just got to get over some of that. So, but first I want to go into the idea of how we practice our presence on our own. See, the tabernacle is a tent of meeting. And we need to look at it like that, that when we come to God or when we come to pray or read the word, that we're going there to meet a real person, okay? It's not just to do our duty. It's not just to memorize some scripture, but we're actually going into a place where God's presence is there, because God's presence is inside of us. Now, if we're all honest, how many would actually say, I don't feel the presence of God all the time? I think we all. If you do, God bless you, you should be up here, not me. Because I don't feel God's presence all the time. Sometimes I feel I'm winging it. You know what I'm saying? I'm out here alone. But I do know that there's things that I can do in my own personal responsibility to enhance or to make the presence of God more beneficial in my life. so that I can do things to follow him, okay? There's things that I can do, you know, on my own to try to do that. And like that last song we sang today, Christ Be Magnified, you ought to just drive by my house some morning and hear me sing that song. You know, it ain't pretty, but I'll tell you what, it's loud. Because I want Christ to be magnified in my life. And that's one of my go-to songs that I do to try to, you know, get myself into a position to receive from God. Because I need to receive from God. As simple as that. And I think everybody does too. Now, our relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important relationship you'll ever have. And yet we take it for granted, probably the most. More important, your relationship with your spouse. More important than your relationship with your children. Because it's an eternal relationship. It's a relationship between you and your Creator. So we need to put it ahead of every other relationship. If you're putting your spouse or your children ahead of God, you're in sin. Simple as that. God has to be first in our life. And if we don't do that, we're going to mess up. We're going to make some problems along the way. Okay, now, the idea of corporate worship, what we kind of experience here today, and the importance of that and how that works. You know, it's very good when like-minded people come together to worship God in one accord, okay? Now, I know we're all just a little bit different, you know, from each other in some ways, but there's certain things that we all probably agree on in some way, you know, to be in this church. I mean, you kind of know what we believe, you know how we worship. You know, all these things are kind of important. You maybe, hopefully everybody feels like they fit in. And when you do that, you kind of feel like you're a part of that family. And see, you just don't come to church, you know, just to hear me preach. But you come here and you bring something. You bring your own presence of God. You bring faith to this place. You bring all these things. And if you don't come, we miss out. And that's why it's so important to come. And then we raise our voice to God. You know, there's power, wonder-working power. I might have Jimmy come up and sing that song again, praise God. But there's power when we all lift our voices with one voice. Amen. And we're crying out to our God. Yes. The power of God will fall. Yes. The presence of God is manifest. And see, you can get that at home. But, you know, I'll tell you what, it's kind of fun to do it together because we tap into each other's power and we unite our faith together. Amen. And we see the presence of God come. Thank you. And thank God for that. And we need that. We need a touch from God. Every now and then, you just need a touch. I mean, you can eat a burrito, you can eat a donut, you can do anything, but what you really need is a touch from God. Amen. You know, there's things that you go by the cupboard and you just want something. I want something. Sometimes only God can give you that. Just give you that. Food can't settle it. It's got to be the presence of God. So it's important when we have that one voice and the power of God falls. Now the Bible says our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's also mean our body is a tabernacle. And we're going to go into that a little more later in the series. But, you know, I just wanted to throw this out there just because. You know, how our body feels can affect our worship experience. Have you ever drugged your sorry bones out of bed and tried to go into your prayer closet? Man, that's the last place your flesh wants to be, isn't it? It don't want to be there. And see, that feeling, you have to overcome that. Or some people, you know, when they come to church, I look at them, I know they're not going to last. You know, they've been up all night. You know what I'm saying? They've been awake. They look tired. They're going to drop here. I'm not here to entertain them. I'm here to bring the word, man. You know, you want an entertainer, go find a clown. You know, but, you know, I'm just saying, you know, if we want to receive from God, we have to come expecting, come wanting. That means maybe you have to do something on your part, you know. And has anybody ever had the hangries? You know what I mean? How do you feel when you're hungry and angry, you know? Oh, you just kind of, you know, you're just in your own little deal. And, you know, hey, grab something to eat before you get here. You know what I'm saying? You know, just have a snack, something that'll hold you over. You know, get up and eat a burrito. And sometimes a donut, your blood sugar is going to go up and crash, you know. We get together here once a week, you know. And if we all come here and we're wanting something from God and we're hungry for God and we're all bringing our part, you know, I don't want to be the weakest link. You know, I don't want to be the one that fails. You know, I know I'm throwing a lot of pressure on you. I am. But you see, we want to come hungry. We want to come wanting, expecting God to move. When, you know, maybe a new song, maybe a song you're not really into. You know, we was just at a place and the songs were ones that, you know, I haven't done for years. And it was very hard to enter in. You know, but I knew it was my responsibility to flow with them and not them to flow with me. So I knew I had to fight through that because I didn't drive all that way and spend all that money just to not get anything. You know what I'm saying? I went there to get me something. So I had to flow with that. And I know that. I'm old enough now. I'm mature enough to know that I have to flow with that. I encourage us to, you know, we need to do that because our flesh is the weakest link in this whole equation with our relationship with God. It's that flesh nature that holds us back. And there's things we can do to learn to hold that back. And I think we know what those are because we want to line ourselves up with that runway. So that when we come to God, you know, we want to be able to get. And I'll tell you what, it's beautiful. When we do this service right, the power of God really manifests sometimes at the end of the service, doesn't it? You know, we sing that last song, people come up, get prayed for, get touched. I don't know about you, I feel the presence of God up here. You know, and if you don't feel it, move to the front. Amen. You know, I'm just saying, now these guys may fight you for the seat, you know, because they got their spot. But I tell you what, you know, I like to be where the presence is, you know, because that's where I get stuff. You know, stuff pops into my mind from God. And it's an idea. And for heaven's sakes, write it down. You know, if God tells you something, write it down. Because you might forget, you know, you might forget. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 27, 16, and we're going to be talking about that gate and that door a little bit. Exodus 27, 16, it says, "For the gate of the court there shall be a screen of 20 cubits of blue and purple and scarlet material, and then fine twisted linen, the work of a weaver, with their four pillars and their four sockets." You know, it just amazes me. If you go through this in Exodus from 25 on there, it explains how they make everything. And, you know, I kind of think of Troy. Troy's a very talented artist. You know, he's made some stuff around here. I don't put him on the spot, but he can really paint. I can't even write my name. You know what I'm saying? I can't even, when I take notes, I have to pray in tongues just to try to interpret it, you know, sometimes. You know, it just amazes me the giftings. And Brian also is a great artist and different ones. It's just amazing. And just think if God puts his hand upon that person, just how much more. Because they made things out of one piece of beaten gold. I mean, just hammered it out and made something. So it's just so amazing what God can do when he puts his hand on you. You got to remember that. The hand of God can make us do things we never thought we could do. And some of the people were anointed to make these doors. I call them doors, but don't misunderstand me if I do that accidentally, because I'm used to going through a door. But these were tent curtains that you kind of went through, that you had to go through to get to the place, okay? Now, there were three doors in the tabernacle apparatus, okay? And those three doors were all made of the same type of material. And we're going to just look at that just briefly, because remember that 150 by 75, you could walk around that whole structure and you could see it, but yet there was no way in but one spot. There was a 30-foot door right there. And then also into the holy place, that other tent on the inside, there was one door. And then once you got through that door, there was only one door or tented curtain in the other place to get into the, where the presence of God was. And so our door to the tabernacle is what I want to look to, because this door, this gate that it was making was talking about Jesus Christ. Now, to me, the outer structure was all white linen. To me, that's a picture of the bride of Christ. You know, we're pure, right? You know, it's hard to imagine. And like I've always said before, just because we're a bride doesn't mean we always have to wear a dress, right? You know, we got armor that we wear too. But for today, I want to see that we're the bride of Christ and how God sees us when we go through that right door, the correct door, the right way, you know, we're clean. I don't know if you've ever considered yourself clean before. So I felt dirty before. I felt filthy. You know, I equate it, I try to, as an illustration, have you ever been out working on something? I got some coveralls that I put on. I don't like really getting super dirty. I don't mind getting dirty, but I don't like getting really bad. So I got these old coveralls I carry around. And if I have to go into a bad place or do something really filthy, I slip these coveralls on. And to be honest, I feel dirty when I put those on because they're so dirty. You know what I mean? They're just filthy. I should clean them. But I don't. I just keep them that way because they're just for bad places. Because every now and then, you go into a bad place. Well, just think if you ever went and taken a shower after you're all dirty, then you had to go put on those old coveralls. It'd be messy, wouldn't it? But see, Jesus Christ doesn't do that. When he cleanses us, he makes us clean because of the power, you know, that's in his blood. And these doors were the way that we go. Now, to get into the outer court, you went through that curtain, and we're going to go into this next week, but that's where you took your sacrifice. That's where you took your animal that was going to be killed. You led it or carried it in there. I mean, some of them were probably resistant a little bit after they seen a few of their friends go in and not come out. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, you dragged that animal in there. That animal's blood was shed, but it had to go through that door. There's only one door. And, you know, that what that represents, it talks about that fine linen. That's a symbol of whiteness or purity that was woven in that door. And these are all pictures of Jesus Christ. And that's why the Old Testament, when God was showing these people, they couldn't see it. All they thought was this animal sacrifice covered them. They couldn't see into the future, but see, we can see back. And we can see what God was trying to show. And the color blue was wove in there. And it's talking about like a heavenly sky. Have you ever seen the blue sky and there's not a cloud, how blue it is? It just looks so majestic and heavenly. I mean, that's what they kind of thought. Or it's a picture of nobility. Also, they had the scarlet woven in there, the color red. And that's talking about Christ's precious blood. Because blood had to be shed. You know, and we're going to look at this a little bit. But, you know, did you know when Jesus' blood was shed, he actually took some of that blood up into the heavens, to the heavenly tabernacle. I mean, that just expands my mind that there's a heavenly tabernacle that had to be cleansed. And just how I don't want to say this in the wrong way, just how powerful or how tainting sin was that it reached up that far, that it took the blood to cleanse that, the blood of Christ. You know, it's just a powerful thing. Then lastly is purple, and that's a symbol of royalty. And Jesus is our king. The Bible says he's the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. And we need to see that when we come into his presence. We just acknowledge his royalty. Now, in John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus says you have to enter through the door. There's no other way. No, I don't know what would have happened to somebody. I tell you what. What I know about God, could you imagine somebody trying to dig under and get in that tabernacle the wrong way? Oh, my Lord. Drop dead. See, we have to go through the door. And there's a lot more to this. You know, all through the Old Testament, and this is something I'm praying for my personal revelation. You know, even though God had set up this specific way to get right with God, the Bible talks about, for the most part, they never took away the high places where the people personally went up and sacrificed their own sacrifices to whatever God. And see, God has a specific way. He doesn't want us to be rebellious. He doesn't want us to do it our way. God has a pattern that he wants us to go through to be able to do it his way. It's all about obedience. It's a word we don't like, but God wants us to get there. So in John 10, 7, Jesus says, I am the door. And see, through Jesus Christ is the only way that we can line up for that runway so we can stick the landing. You know, many people try to quit their things. Many people try to clean themselves up. They try to make themselves better on their own with their own flesh, but it doesn't work that way. That's like trying to stick a landing and then you crash and burn, because that's what happens. Because we can never stick the landing without Jesus Christ. We can never get lined up with God the Father unless we go through God the Son. And it's the power of Jesus Christ's blood that cleanses us, no matter what our sin is. You know, If you feel that you can't go to God, that's the devil, that's your flesh trying to hold you back. If you feel you've done something that God won't forgive you of, that's the devil, that's your flesh lying to you. That's when we need it all the more. To get that blood cleansing us, and we understand that we can, you know, when we go through Jesus Christ, we can go right into the presence of the Father. We can go right into that Holy of Holies. We don't have to be afraid. Like we said before, and I'll go into this later on, but they say the high priest, when he went in there, they'd tie a rope on his leg, and they had little bells and stuff on his robe, and once they stopped hearing the jingling, they'd drag him out dead. Because some of them went in there, and it was organized religion, some of them, just like today. And there was corruption in the priesthood. We know that as we read what happened to Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? You know, so it was a powerful thing. And so we need to make sure, you know, it doesn't matter. Now, a lot of people, you know, try to look good. Have you ever tried to look good? Try to fake it? You know, you're breaking on the inside, but you look good on the outside. You're just styling. See, it doesn't matter how many flips or spins we have like those gymnasts or how good we may look to others as a Christian. You know, we need to go through Jesus Christ to stick that landing, because Jesus is the door. And if we miss the door, we're going to miss out. Amen. All right, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we honor you today. We thank you so much for the penetrating power of your presence to be in each of our lives. Lord, we know that things go on in our life, things that drag us down. I just want to give an opportunity today. If you're here today and you have never been born again, or you have been born again and you know you need to reconsecrate or you need to recommit your life to Christ, I want to give you the opportunity to pray today if that's speaking to your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the presence, your presence. Lord, it's not about what you give us, Lord, but it's about just being with you. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit to be here today. We thank you, Lord, that you draw us through. Help us in our relationship. Help us enhance our relationship with you. Lord, even though we don't feel like it sometimes, Lord, we want to praise you. We want to enter through the gate of praise and thanksgiving, Lord, to be able to be in your presence. We command our flesh to fall in line with your word. In Jesus' name, amen.